On our desert island this week is an American entertainer who's been part of all our lives. He's made more records than anyone ever has. He's starred in getting on for 100 films. He's still hard at work and indestructible. It's Bing Crosby. Dr. Crosby, Bing. No,
I'm not all that hard at work, Roy. I do a little work now and then, but I mostly hunt, fish, shoot, and play golf, and travel, and have fun with the children.
Very nice, too. Taking you away from all that, could you endure loneliness? If you have...
Oh, yes. I can get along by myself quite well. Entertain myself. I love to ruminate, like all old codgers do, you know.
You've chosen these 8 discs, Bing. What would you want music to do for you on the island? Evoke the past? Bring you great performances?
These records that I've chosen would both entertain, and I think they create certain moods in me when I play them.
What's the first one you've chosen?
I'd open up with something lively, and one of the most lively records I know of, it's a record that was made by my brother Bob's band, the Bob Crosby Bobcats, and it's called South Rampart Street Parade, and I think this is a wonderful arrangement, and it's very, very exciting to me to hear this record.
Rampart Street Parade by Bob Crosby and the Bobcats, keeping it in the family. What's your second disc?
I've always been a great listener, although I don't know anything about classical music, of practically everything that Claude Debussy wrote. But I think the one that's most listenable to me and the most easily understood, and it's a record that creates a good deal of peace if I'm a little upset, a little restless, it's his Clair de Lune.
Thank you.
Debussy's Clair de Lune, played by the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Stanley Black. Harry Lillis Crosby, born at Tacoma in the state of Washington. Crosby's a Scandinavian name from way back.
It must be way, way back. I thought it was English. Because my father's family came from England at the time of, the Mayflower, really. We're descended from Edwin Brewster, who was a Plymouth Elder, I believe.
You were nicknamed Bing after a character in a comic strip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was this comic strip called The Bingville Bugle. And the leading character was sort of a tramp.
Yeah.
Wore a tin can on his head. And they called him Bingo.
And there was something about the ears, I gathered.
And his ears look something like mine do now. They were rather prominent, looked like a taxi with both doors open.
Was your family musical?
All of them, yes. Father played the guitar, my mother the piano. They appeared in a lot of amateur productions like Gilbert and Sullivan and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And we always had music in the house.
You used to sing at the family musical evenings?
Everybody sang, yeah.
You were going to be a lawyer, were you not?
I was studying law, yeah, when I finished 2 years college.
Yes, and then the musical activities became more important.
Well, I had a little band. We were playing for dances. It was a college town. And also had a job a little later on, while I was still in school, at a dance hall and then at a Chinese restaurant. So we were making enough of an income to justify me forgetting about the study of law, I thought.
You set off with a musical friend, Al Rinker, to make your fortune. How did you envisage doing that? In vaudeville or with bands?
Bands. Were terribly keen about bands. We had the first records that were available in Spokane, my hometown. When they arrived at the music store, we'd be there waiting. The bands then were then popular, like Whiteman and Rodimek and Jack Drake and the Cotton Pickers. And we had all their records.
Yeah.
And we imitated them. We copied their arrangements, and that's what we played.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good experience, that small-time variety.
Yeah, we played the small variety for a while. We finally finished up playing in the best vaudeville in the country, the Keith Circuit.
Yes. And then Whiteman added you to his compliment.
Well, that was a great, great step for us because we knew all those musicians in his band by reputation. And just to be around these guys was payment enough for us. We'd have worked for nothing.
Yes.
And with musicians such as Beiderbecke, the Dorsey Brothers, Venuti, and Lang, he had every great musician he could get.
Yes. And he added that volatile songwriter, Harry Barris.
We call it the Rhythm Boy.
That's right.
Three of us.
In those days, you were something of a hellraiser, Bing.
No, I used to love to go to the nightclubs up in Harlem, and after work, that would be 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, we'd go up there, we'd get home till 3 and 4. Not every night, but many nights, because there was an awful lot of talent up there. The Duke was playing up there, Ellington, Cab Calloway, lots of great soloists, singers, but it never interfered with my work in any way. I never missed any shows.
Mm-hmm. Why did the Rhythm Boys break up? Why did you start off on your own?
Well, Whiteman let us go after we'd been with him 2 or 3 years. He was going into a different kind of a band, different kind of singing. He wanted to get some girl singers. And he let us go in Los Angeles. So we got a job there in the Coconut Grove, then the most popular spot in Hollywood, Beverly Hills or Pasadena, for a nice dine and dance room. And we were there about a year. We were on the air, I think, 2 or 3 times a week up and down the coast. A good exposure for the material.
Yes. Well, that was a big turning point in your life, so let's break off at this point for your third disc. What's that to be?
It's one of the great arrangements I've ever heard and played superlatively well and by one of the marvelous band leaders, Benny Goodman. This record was a tremendous hit when it came out. It had a wonderful vocal by Martha Tilton. In my way of thinking, it's an excellent example of how to arrange a popular song and play it.
We meet and the angels sing. The angels sing the sweetest song I ever heard. You speak and the angels sing. Or am I reading music into every word? Suddenly the setting is strange. I can see some undiscovered shore. Then suddenly I see it all change. Long winter nights with the candles gleaming. Through it all, your face that I adore. You smile and the angels sing. And though it's just a gentle murmur at the start, we kiss and the angels sing and leave their music ringing in my heart.
And the angels sing. Vintage around 1939, if I remember, by the Benny Goodman Orchestra. We forget nowadays just how big radio was back in the late 20s.
Oh, it was tremendous, tremendous.
Very quickly, it led to you topping the bill at big theaters like the Paramount New York. How many consecutive weeks did you do that?
I think it was 28.
Yeah. Well, from the Paramount and such like places, you moved into the movies. And it was only about 2 years before you were one of the top 10 box office names in the United States. All your early films were light comedies with songs.
That's right. I played the same guy in every picture. You know, trying to win a girl, and the mother disapproved because I was a crooner and had no apparent source of livelihood. What you might call almost a vagrant in her mind. And I had to prove my worthiness. And, of course, there was a lot of struggle in between the ultimate end where she finally agreed that I was just a hell of a guy.
There was a change of pace with Mississippi. That was a
little bit, yeah. That was a period, costume.
W.C. Fields.
And Joan Bennett.
And then later the Road 2 series with Bob Hope and Dorothy Lamour. How many were there?
Seven.
Well, then from your comedies, you graduated, if that's the word, to dramatic pictures, Little Boy Lost, The Country Girl, Stagecoach. Those were pretty challenging roles you took there.
Yes, I made another dramatic picture called Man on Fire, which really was the toughest acting job of all, but it didn't do too well.
Let's have record number four now. What next?
Oh, well, record number four is a very natural selection. Not only because it's by the great Glenn Miller Band, and because it's a great song, but it always reminds me of a beautiful ballroom full of nicely dressed young people dancing to some marvelous music. The opening bar is a Moonlight Serenade. Right away, I'm in that environment, and I love it.
Glenn Miller signature tune, Moonlight Serenade. Our statistics being, these, of course, can only be approximate. It said that you've recorded 4,000 songs. Does it seem as many as that?
No, it doesn't really. I think that's a little high. But I couldn't quarrel with it if that's the figure they've come up with.
And sold over 400 million.
Oh, that's high, too. I'm sure that's high.
You've been over here to record some more songs, haven't you?
Well, I've been over here twice, Roy. I came over in February.
Have you brought your family over with you?
Yes, the whole family. I brought the two boys July 2nd. We landed at Prestwick and we played all the Scotch links.
How is the golf?
My golf?
Yes.
I would say I'm about a 7 handicap.
Bing, you've always had this superbly relaxed manner, how much of that has been a pose? Are you ever a nervous man?
No, not really, never.
Are you superstitious?
No, well, a couple of little things, but they're just, I wouldn't walk under a ladder. But I guess that's not superstition, that's just being careful. I never leave a hat on a bed.
Well, that's a new one. I never heard of that. You start me on that.
That's show business. That's an old show business thing. Never leave a hat on a bed. I don't know why. I can't think of anything else. If I spill salt, I throw a little over my left shoulder.
Oh, yes. Well, let's get back to records, Bing. What's number five?
Oh, another record to take to the Adal. Where's this island going to be?
Where would you like it to be?
Oh, I think the South Pacific, where you can swim, you know.
Right.
Bathe, have a good beach. Maybe fashion a hook and catch a fish now and then. Libestrom.
Mm-hmm.
Normandy always has a marvelous orchestra. Let's listen to that.
Liebestrom, the Philadelphia Orchestra, conducted by Eugene Ormandy. Well, we've been talking rather a lot. Let's go straight on to record number six.
Oh, I got a good one for number six. Famous record by a famous clarinetist, a good friend of mine. He made wonderful success out of the music business because he's a super musician. And this is his record of Begin the Begin, Artie Shaw.
Shores, Begin the Begin. You murmured something about fishing just now. You have your own fishing boat. You're fond of fishing.
Yes, I fish a lot. Lately, though, I've gone away from the deep sea. I did all the deep sea fishing there is to do around California, Mexico, and Hawaii. Now I just fish when I'm in Mexico for enough for the table, the bass and the what we call the mahi-mahi and the edible fish.
Yeah.
My big fishing kick now is dry fly for trout or wet fly for Atlantic salmon.
How would you make out on this island with improvised fishing tackle?
I think I'd have to contrive some sort of a net. That's not too bad with reeds or grass. You can catch some fish. And
should be plenty of shellfish, too. Are you a good cook?
I can cook fairly well.
Could you build a house?
No way.
Shelter?
No way. I couldn't fix a safety pin.
Could you make a craft?
Doubt it. Maybe a raft.
Yes.
But it wouldn't be... Wouldn't take any rough water. Wouldn't be able to go very far in it.
But you have no considered plans for escape as of this time.
Well, if there's any way I'd try and get off, there's too many things I'd like to get back to. But failing, if there wasn't any way to get off, I think I'd just play my records and ruminate.
Right. What's the seventh record?
Seventh record is another example of a marvelous arrangement for a dance band. It's Tommy Dorsey's great disc of the Song of India.
Tommy Dorsey's Song of India, which brings us to your last disc. What's that?
Well, for a closer, I thought Roy ought to choose something peaceful and relaxing. It's Intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana. The reason I chose this, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. And I know if I'm going to be alone on this island for an indefinite period of time, I'm going to want to pray once in a while. And to close with this music might impel me to bend a pious knee, and that's why I've chosen it for the closer.
The intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana, Herbert von Karajan conducting the orchestra of La Scala Milan. Bing, if you could take just one of the eight discs you've played us, which would it be?
Oh, my heavens, Roy, that's a rough assignment. I probably would take South Rampart Street Parade. It's so uplifting, so spirited.
Yes. Brother Bob's South Rampart Street Parade. Mm-hmm. And one luxury to take to the island. Nothing useful.
A guitar. Mm-hmm. Can I have some strings?
Of course, an inexhaustible supply.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, no, I'm not that inexhaustible supply.
How many?
We've got caught with that before. People go and make boats out of inexhaustible supplies.
Oh, no.
As many as you need, put it that way.
Well, I wouldn't need, you know, a tremendous supply, because in the warm weather, I think the strings last a lot longer than they do in cold weather. They're at least less likely to break.
Do you play the guitar?
Enough. I imagine out there alone, I'd get to be very good at it, but nobody would hear me. What a pity.
When you come back, a new career.
If I ever get off, yeah.
And one book apart from the Bible, Shakespeare, and big encyclopedias.
Oh, well, tell me, on my first time, before I make a choice, am I going to have any writing materials?
Pencil and paper, that's all.
Pencil and paper. No. Well, I still like to take this book I have in mind. I can probably get a sharp stick and write on palm leaves or do something. I'd like to take Roger's Thesaurus out there.
Yes. Roger's Thesaurus.
Because I think with that I could maybe do some useful writing.
Good. Fine, and thank you, Bing Crosby, for letting us hear your Desert Island discs.
Thank you, Roy. I enjoyed it.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.